Welcome to The Art of Construction, the podcast dedicated to helping you grow your business. Together, we'll explore the world of construction with some of the best minds of the industry. Your host, Evan Tilley, a micro-influencer and sometimes disruptor, will take you on a journey that will lead your business to the next level.
What's up, Art of Construction Tribe? Devin Tilley here, and we have another great podcast today where we're going to get into talking about how we can elevate the warriors through a platform called Protiv. That is a super cool platform made by people in construction for people in construction. And the main message that I want to convey to you, Tribe, is that so many contractors, they never grow beyond that mom and pop size business. And we want to talk through and answer that question of why do so many fail, right? And as we know, contracting is tough. It's messy. We have so many tight margins we have to deal with. And it's so hard to find good people, right? And we're chasing those customers for money and trying to figure that out every day. And so many of us, if we face the facts, right, we're one bad job or one litigious customer or one accident away from disaster. And that's why we do this for you, Tribe. And often, not much money for all of the risks that we're taking here in the art of construction. And how is this going to benefit you is that, you know, let's talk about how we can operate our industry in a better way and maybe think about how we reward and how we can run a more profitable business and raise the standards for both wages and profits. And so from my perspective, I heard this on the pre-interview of paying your employees more while lowering labor costs. That sounds maybe too good to be true, but is it? And that's what Michael Fortenberry, who we're going to talk with, that's what he is going to talk with us about. And that many of the construction tech tools, you know, a lot of the best ones that I see out there, they're not coming from the Silicon Valley startups, but they're actual construction companies. And they're out there solving, hey, the actual problems that we've been dealing with in construction for a long time. And so I'm so excited to hear their software story and their origin story. And we get to have the co-founder and CEO, Michael Fortenberry at Protiv, is who we get to interview. So without further ado, let's dive into this, get to know him and his story and what they're all about over there at Protiv. What's your favorite beverage?
Hey, Evan, super excited. Favorite beverage, gotta say probably IPA. You know, out on the boat, evening, sunset, you know, good beer is hard to beat. Yeah, I might have said tequila at one point, but then after too much of that and a couple of ex-wives as a result, I don't know, now maybe just beer is probably better.
Well, you've painted a good picture there. The picture of a good IPA on a sailboat in the sunset, that definitely sounds hard to beat. What's a favorite place you've traveled?
You know, actually, I'd have to say Croatia recently. Been there a couple of times over the last few years. And, you know, it was all built by the Italians back in the 13th century. So it's really, it's like visiting Italy with this kind of Mediterranean Italian food thing going on. It's pretty amazing. Amazing company, you know, over there in the country, and just great people. Really fun. Beautiful place.
Super cool. Give us one story from being in Croatia.
So there are these coves in Croatia where you pull up these little islands. Again, I do a lot of sailing, so it's my hobby. And you pull up in these little coves. There'll be one restaurant in this cove. It's just a little house usually, and you're usually eating dinner at someone's essentially outdoor home with four little tables, mostly eating whatever fish they caught that day. And it's just this very, I don't know, real human way of connecting to other people, getting to know people from around the world, and just a very different kind of experience when it comes to traveling and visiting new places versus going into some town and eating at a chain restaurant or something. It's just something amazing about, you know, visiting someone's home to have dinner.
Well, you definitely alluded to your hobby there, what you like to do outside of the construction silos that we passionately call the art of construction. It sounds like being on the water on your sailboat, huh?
It is. Love sailing. Actually, like fixing boats too. They're kind of like a complicated version of a house and a car thrown together. You've got, you know, nothing is straight. So throw your level out and, you know, your contractor square is useless anymore. A couple of different electrical systems. You get your own plumbing platform. I mean, there's a lot of moving parts. Everything sits in salt water and vibrates. So you can imagine. A lot of fun.
Awesome. Well, Michael, what is your story that led you to becoming the co-founder and the COO at Protiv?
Yeah, it comes from our construction company. We have about 100 employees here in New York City, where we do large-scale multifamily renovation work. And in that space, we were struggling with some of the same things I expect a lot of your listeners struggle. The challenge of managing productivity, managing our labor costs. Because as we grew, I couldn't just keep hiring another supervisor to throw on top. My overhead's getting bigger as we grew. And I really needed to control my labor costs so I can compete with smaller companies. So we built the platform almost out of necessity. And really, it is an amazing moment. We realized this is really changing everything about what we thought a team could produce. And you think about your workers out there, they're getting a job done, they're remodeling, they're putting in tile, they're painting a wall, installing some new electrical fixtures. Any given task, what could they get done if they were properly motivated, personally inspired to do more? And that's what we kind of incredibly locked onto with the Protiv platform.
Awesome. So you had the pain in your construction business of trying to manage people and profitability. And so can you talk about some of the challenges that your construction facing, like in the specifics? What were some of those specific details that led you to developing the original Protiv prototype?
Yeah, that's a great question. Real specifically, when it came straight to labor costs, we had increasing labor costs while our clients are, putting constant pressure on us to keep price down. And so how do you, adjust to that? I can't just keep paying my guys more and more. I need to get more done. At the same time, with increasing overhead, small guys, the guy with just a van and, just one or two workers, maybe not even, using his own employees, maybe using 1099 guys kind of illegally, their costs were just lower. So my competition is pushing me on one side, my customers pushing me on the other, and I still want to be successful. We realized that the team could do more than what they were traditionally doing if they were properly motivated. But you can't just pay them more, right? You can't just write a bigger, hourly check. The reality is that someone's income, if you just give them a raise, that's kind of a reward for past behavior. What I needed to do is influence their future behavior. And to do that, that reward had to be weekly. Every week they needed to see, if I do something different on Wednesday, I get paid better on Friday. And so we knew the subcontractors produced at a kind of a more rapid pace, if you would, than our internal employees. So we started looking, how can we blend the two? How can we create a fixed rate compensation for a W-2 worker?
I absolutely love that. And I talk with many owners and they're really struggling with this right now because they're trying to figure out, how do we move this thing forward with the changing dynamics in construction, with the legacy issues of the people that have always been around. So I'm excited to dive into this. And I want to start off by saying the term that you've used a lot in educating us around your platform is project-based compensation. So can you really dive in and explain from your point of view, what is project-based compensation?
Yeah, great way to look at it, Devin, is to think of how you pay your subcontractors. So when you hire a sub, you bid the job, you say, I think it's going to cost me $1,000 in labor, got your subcontractor, and you're paying $1,000, and you play the materials. That we do that model all the time in construction everywhere. This is very similar in that we've created we call it a propay. It's a fixed amount that's going to be paid to the worker or the individual or the team that when they finish the job. If they finish that job ahead of schedule, they've effectively made more money per hour. What we're doing is legally converting that fixed amount to the correct hourly rate that goes on their paycheck. So there are a lot of rules around this, a lot of labor law, minimum wage, overtime, et cetera, that you have to get right. But there isn't anything that's illegal about it. It's simply a process that was complex to do. And so we'd always just pay people hourly, which is a terrible business model. Hourly compensation, as opposed to project-based compensation, is just, there's not even a comparison between the two. That's completely unfair. Hourly is simply motivates you to work more hours. When you're paid based on what you produce, you're incentivized to produce more.
It sounds so obvious, but yet it's a dichotomy that we're all dealing with, right? With the problem of hourly pay. From your point of view, Can you unpack the problems with this hourly pay?
Look, then I'm assuming you probably had at some point in your life a job that paid hourly.
Yeah, I didn't have very many of those because most guys in construction that don't want to sit around and punch the clock aren't very good at it. And I'm definitely one of those.
Yeah. So if you think about those hourly jobs, whether it's McDonald's or whether you're working with concrete or you're framing a home, it's when you're getting paid hourly, you are motivated to work more hours. That is actually how you earn more. To get to overtime, you can earn even more. But none of that is a function of productivity. There's no incentive to actually think differently, to do quality work. There's not a motivation incumbent in hourly pay to be more efficient. If you are motivated to do quality work, it's because your foreman kind of gives you a hard time, or maybe you're intrinsically motivated. Devin, I bet you have employees, your team, some of the tribe out there has employees that are intrinsically motivated to just be better. We love those guys. They're our best workers. They kill it for us. And we wish we could have more of them. But the reality is that's a subset of the population that just personally has that work ethic to go further. The reality is, how do we get that kind of motivation from everybody on the team instead of just those ones who carry it internally for a different reason? And that really, think about hourly pay as an incentive to work more hours, not to do better work.
All right, man, I'm intrigued. So give us the nuts and bolts of how the whole platform works.
Absolutely. So right now, this is all about controlling and lowering your labor costs by getting more productivity. The platform starts by having a good bid and estimate of how much you expect to spend on labor. So then I think you guys do window installs, one of your big projects. You look at a home and you're going to say, I know roughly how much labor is going to cost me to put these windows in. You got some materials, you got some overhead, you want some profit. That's the basic equation for creating a contracting business. Once you have that labor number, though, what we do different is we're going to create what's called a propay. And the propay in our software is simply the amount that you're going to pay your team for finishing the work. Now, what's magical is that we usually set the propay just a little bit lower than that estimated labor target. So you thought you're going to have $2,000-$3,000 maybe in labor costs. Let's say it was $3,000 on a project. You might set that propay at $2,700. It's 10% less than what you thought when you bid the job. So if you hit that number, you're 10% better on labor than where you thought you were going to be. Now, that number goes to your team, right? The manager gets that number, the team gets that number, maybe you have 2-3 guys on that project. And they now know how many hours, based on we have a calculator they get, they have to finish that job. So based on the number of hours, they can use our calculator to say, if we finish the job in this much time, maybe we finish on Thursday instead of Friday, here's how much more money we make per hour. Here's what our bonus will be. That creates motivation for these guys. Now, a really important part is that they don't earn that money until the project is signed off for quality. So the supervisor's got to go out. He's got to inspect. The homeowner, for example, if you're installing windows, has got to say, yes, I'm happy with all my windows. And when everybody is good, then that money goes straight into their next paycheck. So we manage that process of both ensuring that they're motivated to be productive and that they do quality work the first time. So if they do those two things, they're going to earn more per hour.
So what I'm hearing from this, and the part that I want to make sure we talk back about here, is that the management project success, you have to begin with the end in mind. And you're setting up what you're already as, it has to be one source of truth that when you go out to do a project, that what you want to be successful, you're kind of clawing back a little bit of that for the team to all be on the same page when they go out there to do the work. Am I understanding that right, Michael?
Devin, that's a good way to look at it. It's a very symbiotic partnership between the contractor and their employees. If the contractor wants the employees to overproduce, to go ahead of the norm, then they're going to need to reward that. At the same time, the employee, if they want to earn more money, then they need to help the contractor to get to their target numbers. So what we've done is we've created a symbiotic relationship between the parties that helps them to both do better.
100%. And that's the key. It's kind of like in the past of a guaranteed maximum price versus a time and materials, or a different way the actual GC communicates to his client But the general contractor or the developer who's brokering the deal, typically, they're not the ones doing the plumbing, electrical, windows, all of the warriors that make this thing happen. They have to have a team behind them that has their back. And right now it's messy because people are undercutting that all over the place. And I'm assuming that was kind of the origin story when you were in your contracting business, because you wanted to find a better way versus just go pay $2 more an hour than the guy down the street that's trying to do the same thing to you.
Yeah, our margins are so tight. Look, I don't know the business for every one of your folks in your tribe, but I will tell you that our margins are low single digits. We need to pull every dollar that goes out needs to be accounted for. We need to understand where it's going. If we want to pay ourselves first, if we want to make sure we're doing this for a for-profit business, we've got to manage costs. And at the same time, I want to care for my workers. I want to care for my employees. They're the engine that makes this whole thing go. And if we want to pay them more and reward them for bringing it every day, it had to be something we were in it together. So the way you do that is you raise productivity. If they get more done, we sell more, we can sell into that extra capacity, and we can keep our margins up and pay our guys really fairly. That was really the power behind what incentivized us to really start this as a standalone company and take it out to our, you know, peers in the market.
I love it. It makes me think about so many different interviews I've had the pleasure of thinking and talking with forward thinkers like yourself, Michael, is that when you set it on this productivity, then when you look at different construction tools and technology and all these things, you're going to get a whole different conversation about buy-in for productivity and figuring out the psychology of all of us humans trying to figure out how to work together to quote unquote automate, because let's face it, construction's broken, and it's the single digit margins can't keep going, and we can't keep paying more and getting paid less. So let's talk about the psychology of how employees change their work style when using a project-based compensation.
Well, first, I kind of alluded to this earlier, but when you look at giving someone just a raise, effectively what you're doing is giving them a reward for what they've already done. It's that if you want to change their behavior next week, you have to give them the potential to get a raise in the future. And that potential has to be at least chronologically somewhat proximate to the activity you want to change. So if you want something different on Friday, you know, in your paycheck, you do something different on Wednesday at work. And once you trigger that psychologically, it alters their daily behaviors instead of saying, oh, hey, we'll have a Christmas bonus. Honestly, I mean, it might as well be a death benefit. A Christmas bonus to a worker, do you think that makes any difference what he does on Wednesday? None. He comes to work, he's going to do whatever he's going to do. And it's not that they don't care. It's just not, we're not changing what they do when they come to work. That takes something different. That takes a reward that they can see and feel. That's why actually the engagement part of our software is so important, Devin. They've got to see on their phone, here's how much more money I'm going to make if I do X.
Then they may actually look at that instead of the social media or all the other stuff that us employers are concerned that they're doing as a punching the time clock, right? And gamifying this thing.
Yeah, you mean the $6.5 billion we spend on fantasy football and wasted time? Wasted. You know how much 10 minutes a day of wasted time costs? It's the same as a week of paid vacation per year. 10 minutes. It's not the guy sitting on the bucket. That's not the metaphor for wasted time. It's just a different pace to work. It's the hustle. It's the let's hurry back from the Home Depot run. Let's take two things to the truck instead of one. It's all those little decisions. Let's keep the job site organized. Let me be methodical about the way I approach this task so that I get it done quicker. Let's learn a new skill so that I'm more efficient at it the next time I do it. The whole spectrum of things that we do as workers, as contractors, as tradesmen to get better and faster at what we do and deliver better quality, those collectively earn us more income, and we can see it each week. Those are the things that are evolving here.
100%. We call it the eye of the tiger mindset and being a lifelong learner, where every step as a logistics, if you're out in the field, every step counts, and being safe about every step and doing it in a way. And But I raise my hand and say, you know, how do you reward if you don't have a platform, and how do you make these changes? So that's what we were so excited to have this conversation, to where the pro pay, like, can you give it a specific example of, like, you said, okay, what do I do today on a Wednesday for my next Friday paycheck? And I'm a small business that says, how do I actually, how does this work with my accounting system or something like that?
So we're pretty integrated, and we can do further integrations if one of your, one of the tribes said, hey, I use this system for time and attendance. I use this system for payroll. All that's good. We can use, if they're all on paper, we can do standalone system on paper. Like if you're on QuickBooks Time, for example, which is a pretty common platform, little T-sheet system, guys log in on their phone, they clock into the job. They're going to also clock into what we call the pro pay that's built right into the system. So that integration is already built, exists. When it comes to whether you use ADP or Paychex or whoever you're using for payroll, our reporting goes straight over to those systems. So it's really nice and seamless, easy, you know, little report to run there. So the integration of it to whatever they're doing today is pretty seamless. And we don't want to disrupt any of that. Whoever you use for time and attendance, great. However you manage that, it's great. We just need that information. And then whoever you're using for payroll, no problem. We got that for you. So we're just going to sit in the middle. We need them to give us the time. We need time and attendance data, and I need to know where you want that data to go for, you know, payroll checks.
Cool. So can you give some examples or around this psychology that you and I are talking about, like how you've seen employees change their mindset using this project-based compensation?
Yeah, a couple for you. We've got some guys that work on teams. So we do some team-based project pay. We do individual-based project pay. I've had teams that don't want certain team members anymore because they slow them down. You got to think about that, right? In your company, you're going to have your employees want to fire other employees because they cost them too much money. That it is crazy. But if you think about it, it's not a bad conversation to be having, right? You're gonna quickly identify, look, the reality is Bob is just slowing us down. And Bob isn't pulling his weight. Bob keeps us from earning the money that we could earn. And I don't want Bob on my team anymore. So those are hard conversations, but they are the conversations you want to be having if you're trying to maximize your profitability as a company. And there's stuff you don't know as the owner, right? There's stuff your guys on the ground are going to know. They're at the job site and they see Bob and they know that Bob, you know, carries 1 2x4 at a time. You know, it's just they know this stuff and they're, that exposure to the challenges comes from your employees when they start getting motivated. The other is contractors, quality is an interesting piece of this because people are like, oh, the guys are going to hurry and they're not going to care as much about quality. It's actually the reverse. When they're tied to getting their bonus when they produce quality work, they actually will say things. I have this guy, Frank, he's a carpenter that works for us on video. And he already said that his approach to quality changed because he said, it costs me too much money to go back. And I thought that was such an amazing quote because he started to think like I do. I mean, I don't know about you, but I price in a way that if I have to go back and fix something, I probably just broke even. And if I have to go back twice, I probably lost money. So rework kills us. And to get an employee to believe that rework killed them, wow. I mean, that is where we want to be as an industry.
Yeah, that's the owner mindset. And it's really hard, the old saying, if nobody cares about your business like you care about your business, well, you got to give them a reason to care about your business like you care about your business.
That's how we do it.
Yeah, and it makes me think of the book Extreme Ownership with Jocko, where they're doing the boat races on the Navy SEALs, and they switch one person in the team, and how the dichotomy of leadership of the different teams. Well, maybe it's dichotomy of leadership. Anyway, one of those two books, I've read them all, and they all are kind of a carry-on thing of like, you're only as good as the weakest link, but yet what is the system that the team is all rowing in the same direction from, right?
Yep, you got it.
So with that being said, can you let's niche in here and say who is that perfect client or your target client for your software platform?
Sure.
And then I always ask the question, it's a big deal for me as a guy in construction and figuring out when I take on a new construction technology, how do we get help and what's the support like of your platform?
Oh, great. Two different questions. Tackle them one at a time. The target customer for us are right now specifically is in the construction space for hourly workers. So self-performance workers. So if you're just a GC and you sub everything, I kind of want to talk to your subs. That's my target customer. We have some clients now that have just a couple guys, and we have clients that have 800 employees. So the range of it, it's not really so much about how big your company is, but more about the fact you self-perform work, you have hourly W-2 workers, and that productivity would make a difference to your company. You want to pay your guys fairly. You want to lower your labor costs. Great target. We can cover all 50 states. From a support standpoint, we're early. I don't want to sugarcoat it. We're not the giant software company or anything. David and I founded it. We're two of the four partners here at the construction company. But David and I spun out and run the software side full time. There's two different types of support that people tend to need. One is just getting set up, which is pretty straightforward. I literally could have you using the system in 24 hours, 48 hours. It's not a hard setup to get started. The real group that needs more support are the ones who don't have a good sense of labor costs. And it is sad to say, not uncommon, we have found that our clients call us and they don't really know their cost. And you had a client come on, actually, another podcast a while back where they talked about, you know, make you know your labor cost, you know your costs. And I know if I believe it was. I thought that was great because you need to know what your costs are. And if you don't, I'm finding that Dave and I are spending more time helping our clients with that support.
You're definitely right with Noify. And on that podcast, it's what is the big problem we're trying to solve is that these construction technologies are trying to help the people out there doing construction, and they're out there just doing so much. They don't know their numbers. And if you don't know your numbers, you're in trouble.
So we help with that, frankly, from a support standpoint, even though it's not really the software that we built. We do that because it's critical to the customers being successful on our system. If you don't set the ProPay target right, then you're not dialing in your labor costs the right way. You're not incentivizing your employees the right way. So we found it's not the software is really simple to use. It almost couldn't be any easier. I could teach you to use it in 10 minutes. And that's eight of us just talking. So it's really about how we help you to be successful with the program. And that's about dialing in your ProPay amounts to the right target labor numbers. And it does evolve over time too, Devin. You're going to learn things about your company's and your team's productivity and potential and about your own estimating through this exercise.
Awesome. Well, thank you for referencing show 268 titled Knowing Your Net Profit Margin with Mark, the co-founder and CEO of Noify. So overall, how do you think a construction company evolves after using your software for a couple years?
Sure. So one, your labor costs are going to come down. That's number one. And your team is going to earn higher average wages. Those two things are going to happen. That's actually going to happen pretty fast. Your labor costs should be lower on the very first job you start. Okay, maybe the second or third, but it should happen very quickly with the system. It doesn't take a long time to see an ROI. The next thing that occurs, though, is interesting. Your estimating is going to get dialed in a bit more. You're going to get a better sense of how much the team can produce. So all those estimating tools, whether you're using something very sophisticated or whether you're just 30 years of experience with a, you know, pen and paper, however you estimate is going to be better 3, 4, 5, 6 months down the road on ProDiv, because you're going to have more data on your actual productivity numbers. No more, I think I do, you know, 500 square feet of painting an hour or 200 linear feet of trim molding or whatever stuff you think you're using to estimate today. How about what you can actually produce with a motivated, driven team? So the other thing is the ProPay themselves evolved. We found we got more granular. We would dial in, instead of having a big lump ProPay for a big job, we actually got really granular where I want to pay someone to handle this specific part of the job. Maybe I've got a remodel job and I want to pay you to do the floor, and I'm going to have another for doing the, you know, the doors, and maybe another part to paint the walls or whatever. I might break that up into pieces. And by getting it more granular, we could really dial in those costs really specifically. very, very powerful.
So much gold there. And, you know, I own a window and door company where we supply turnkey installations, and I coach window dealers, and we're working on a really cool group called AOC Master Facilitators. And I want to give a shout out to Ben Collins, the owner of Morrison Millwork, who we've had on the podcast. And we're getting ready for an upcoming retreat. And we all listened to a podcast titled It's a Strategy Thing. And it's a podcast with Patrick Lencioni, At the Table with Patrick Lencioni. And this podcast is a 27-minute podcast we can put in the show notes. But it boils down to you can't be everything to everybody. And you have to break it down into these three buckets of product leadership, customer intimacy, or operational excellence. Okay. And I love these type of platforms that can help you if you figure out which one you're going to be, because a lot of us are prideful owners in construction and we're very passionate about customer intimacy. And to be able to do that, you have to be able to track and pass that stuff back and forth. But it's really hard when you're at the mercy of supply chain product issues or the 800-pound gorilla that just markets their way so much into this operational excellence. But this is the part that I'm just really passionate about, you really talking more about your productive system with the pro pay of making it a win-win situation to then be able to go and understand these other platforms to understand how you can actually grow your business and manage. You talked about the different line items in the subcontractors, but every one of those line items has a little number below that, which is the most expensive, make it or break it for our margins, which is labor, right? And I think labor. That's what you're talking about.
It's all labor. How can we get better and better at managing our labor costs and do so in partnership with our workers instead of in competition with them?
Yeah, and the it's the sales versus logistics, the owner versus the worker. And this challenging part about construction is that that's what we got to break down these silos, and why we're so excited to have you on the podcast is because that's what the Protiv platform is doing. You're opening the book to say, here's the cards on the table. And you're, when you talk about the success stories, your employees saying, well, I can't afford to do it that way. You're like, I mean, I'm listening. Yeah. I can just see that moment when your employee said that to you. It's got to be so rewarding when you're like, holy smokes, this is amazing, right?
Oh, Devin, I've had them come in and say, you know, they call our, not to me, they call one of our project managers like, hey, where's my stuff? Where's my materials? You're holding me up. You know, all of a sudden your employees are giving us a hard time that they're ready to get to work. They have goals, their personal goals to meet. You know, it's like, hey, my baby needs new shoes. You need to get me my paint here so I can finish this job, right? And then all of a sudden they're driving your company to get better. They're asking for different tools, innovative approaches. Can we do this? Can we approach it this way? Hey, boss, let's try this. Wow. I mean, what a transformation that can be. And to do that without it costing you more money is the key. We actually guarantee it for our customers that we guarantee your labor costs come down, or we actually just give you your money back for what you spent with us, which isn't even very much. So it just works. It works because it psychologically works. It practically works. And I'm just so excited about what this could mean for our industry in controlling costs and letting us get past these fragile margins at which we work. Fragile. I mean, that's how I feel about so many days coming to work. Like, construction is fragile. Like, we need better margins for this risk that we take.
100%. Well, thank you. As we get ready to close this thing out, we'll make sure we'll put links in the show notes and what the platform's all about and how people can get in touch with you to learn more about it. Great. But the questions we always ask as we bring this global and timeless fireside chats all together through all of the other Art of Construction Master Facilitators, what is your crystal ball for the future with technology and construction?
So I've had a chance to, you know, building a construction technology company has been interesting because I look at a lot of, you know, whether it's the VCs, looking at the different shows and events that talk about construction tech. And it's all, I mean, there's some wild stuff out there. There's robots walking around job sites and AI and digital buildings and, I don't know, I mean, there's some pretty wild stuff happening out there. I saw a virtual reality safety training program that was kind of cool. You know, don't get run over by the tractor backing up kind of thing. I mean, it was all right. That's cool. I get that. But if you're building a stadium, I guess that's cool, or a giant tower here in Manhattan. But if you have Bob's Remodeling, I'm not sure you're going to have a robot walking your job site anytime soon. And how do you make your business better? If you're just on the ground trying to run a good shop and be a craftsman, I really think that as much as some of that stuff is cool, that's not serving the big chunk of us out there in the field. The reality is, I think the products that are going to make a big difference are those that deal with slowing productivity we have and worker shortages. We don't have enough people to do the job. We can't hire enough good people to do the work. I don't know if you knew this, but the world actually has to have 13,000 new buildings every day. That's a shocking number, right? I mean, 13,000 buildings every day globally. We're going to have 10 billion people by 2050, and our industry already only completes 30% of its jobs on time. We have millions of open construction jobs globally. Construction productivity is actually lower today than it was in the 60s. So we got to get more people into the trades. We need to train them better. We need better construction methods, and we got to get more productivity from the people we have. That's where I'm hoping Protiv will fill a role.
Outstanding. So the last thing we always ask before I go do our closeout, what is that one thing you want to leave our contractors and affiliates to think about to go out there and crush it and grow their business?
That's a good question. You know what? Not even Protiv. I like it'd be self-serving to say, sign up Protiv and make your country. I would say go to work with a service mindset every day and serve your employees and serve your customers. Remember, if you serve your employees, they're the ones who actually take care of your customers. So, take care of your employees. They'll take care of your customers by producing a great product. Your customers are the ones that, deliver the bottom line financials of your company. So be of service to the people around you. If you want to buy Protiv too, that'd be great. But I'd say if you have one thing, go take care of your people. That matters the most.
Awesome, man. Thank you so much for coming and sharing your story.
Enjoyed it, Devin. Thank you very much.
So much gold there, Tribe, with a platform, like I said at the beginning, made by contractors for contractors. And we have to come together and we have to influence future behavior, not just reward the past. And we're in a trajectory where that just hit me when he's talking about that, because there's so many people leaving construction and so few people coming in. And he's talking about how many buildings we need to build. And so their ProPay platform within Protiv, it commits both sides. And that's what a partnership is all about. And it properly rewards both sides. And so that it doesn't force how construction is done today. And that's by micromanagement, to have these project managers forcing the people that are punching the time clock and not rowing in the same direction. So we have to manage project success through a process, but we have to do that process per project and set them up to be rewarded. And we have to force team motivation, but we have to do that through accountability. And like I said at the beginning, it sounds too good to be true, but he is practicing what he preaches when he says their labor costs are going down with their productivity coming up. And so we, as a customer mindset, and when I referenced that podcast from Patrick Lencioni of a customer intimacy, that really hit me as I'm thinking and going and learning how we can grow and bring this stuff into our business. And when he talks about customers are served by our employees, and so we all know that's our most important thing. And so I want to close this out when he says, my worker says, my baby needs shoes. Not at Christmas when you get a bonus. They need that right now on the next paycheck. And that's, folks, where we have to look at the time value of productivity, but not just reward past behavior, but we have to reward future success. Thank you for listening. Crush it out there. Michael, great job. We're big fans of what you're doing, and we'll be cheering you on and watching your platform grow by constructors for constructors. Crush it out there, Tribe.